have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
On your mark, get set, let's go. Let's study the Word of God. Let's live the Word of God. Let's share the Word of God and experience the God of His Word. So thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program today. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, where we have been the pastors for almost 30 years. Not quite. We hit 30 years in December. We're coming up on 9 years here in a couple of months of being on the radio here on WMIE 91.5 FM and WWBC 1510 AM. And so we're thankful to be on this journey with you. Right now we are going through the Word of God. We've been looking at some of the truly statements that are in the Word of God, primarily the New Testament. Spent much of this time focusing on things Jesus said truly, but you know what? The Word of God is inspired by God the Holy Spirit, and He's not going to lie to us. And so we're looking at some things that are emphasized as truly, truly, or verily, verily. And right now, Acts chapter 4, verse number 27, "For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together." And what the truth that we're looking at is the limitation of united opposition against God. God says in His Word that His purposes will not be thwarted. They will not be hindered or undermined. And so for that, we are truly thankful. Today, we want to say thank you to the folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. They are can be reached at 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. They've been based in Rockledge, Florida for over 40 years, providing professional sales, service, and repair, whether it's air conditioning, heating, or electrical related. They work in residential settings and light commercial settings as well and provide emergency service when necessary. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible and an affordable price. So before you find yourself in need of their services, write this number down, 321-632-9538, so that you can get in touch with them. Because let me tell you something about Florida summers. I came from a part of the country where being over 100 degrees was not uncommon. It happened almost every day. One of the years when I was in school and playing football, I believe that there was like 40 consecutive days where the high reached over 100 degrees. Practicing football, and that was a lot of fun. You learned about making sure that your salt level stayed up and you stayed hydrated. Gatorade, excuse me, was a great friend of yours. And you practiced late in the evening when it was starting to cool down just a little bit, but it was very, very hot. I moved to Florida, and I remember walking outside. I was a retail manager. It was our first summer in Florida. And I remind you, I came from a place where it got hot, and it wasn't a dry heat. There was a lot of humidity there, too. But I was in retail management. I walked out of the department store that I ran the shoe department for and took one breath, and it was like someone had taken my breath away. I went, oh, where did the air go? What happened to my lungs? It was so impactful. And at that point in time, I was like, this is a different type of heat altogether. So I from that moment on, I considered air conditioning part of my benefit package. And I'm truly grateful for the folks at Wyrick Air. If you find yourself in need of their services, give them a call, 321-632-9538. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, and they will get you up and running as quickly as possible. Lots and lots of people's air conditioners. They think at the beginning of the year it's going to make it to the end. it might not make it to the end. So write that number down so you can have it on hand whenever that need does arise. So today we're going, we're talking about the limitations of united opposition against God. Today we're going to go to the book of Job, chapter 38. The book of Job, chapter 38. I want to tell you about the book of Job, and that is I'm very, very cautious when dealing with certain passages in the book of Job, because I believe you need the Spirit of God to spiritually discern it. So there are a lot of people that focus on different aspects of Job. Primarily, people like to look at the book of Job when they are going through suffering, or they say, man, I'm suffering like Job. A lot of people are fixated on the suffering of Job. Now, there are some funny parts to Job, and I mention this, and my wife doesn't like it. Job at one point in time says, even my breath is offensive to my wife. I think that is hilarious. She doesn't think that it's quite as funny. But I want you to know that it's not about the comforters. This book of Job, the focal point is not about the comforters. It's not about Job. It's not about Job's suffering. The true focus of the book of Job is on the greatness of God and his supremacy over the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And so he knows everything that is going on. And there are a lot of things that, you know, I have to lean hard upon God when I read the book of Job. I'm not going to touch on those today. I want to take you to the 38th chapter of Job, and we're kind of going to go through some of these passages here. Before we start reading in verse number or in chapter 38, let me just read to you verse number 2 of chapter 42. It says, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know, or too wonderful for me which I did not know. So that's the essence of what I believe is the reality of Job. We live in a fallen world. There's going to be suffering. We've got a devil that is our enemy that wants to make that suffering worse than it could possibly, than we could possibly comprehend. There are people that come along as comforters that end up being confronters. So you're going to find a lot of things in the book of Job that are unpleasant realities in this life that we lead. But and Job makes some statements where he thinks more highly of himself than he does of God. And so what I want to share with you today is, what does it look like when a person is of the persuasion that they're smarter than God, and God says, well, let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. So in chapter 38, God speaks for himself in Job's situation. So let's look at verse number 1. We'll read down to, I don't know, maybe verse 11. We'll stop and then we'll pick up more later. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band? When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors? When I said, this far you may come, but no farther, and here your proud waves must stop. So we're gonna stop there for just a moment. And I want to share with you as we begin to dive into this, that as God questions Job on some of these things, you may be a person that might be able to answer one of these questions. It might be one of your fields of expertise. You may have spent your entire life studying a topic to where you can say, oh, I know the answer to that question. I want you to see that these are not the boundaries of God's knowledge, not even touching the exponentially greater aspect of his wisdom and knowledge than what man has. These are just some things that Job did not know, and God knew that Job did not know them, and so he presents them to him and says, what about you? Okay, there are some things that I don't understand. There are other people that do understand them greatly. You know, for them, it's just like looking at the back of your hand. I still don't understand how you can drill down into dry dirt and get water up out of the ground. Now, you know what I could do? I could study that. I could spend a lot of time focusing on that. But other people are already specialists in that. I don't need to specialize in that. I need to focus on relationship with God. There was a time somebody presented me a book, and it was a book of heresy. And I said, well, you know what? Maybe I should read this book so that I would be able to answer the questions that people might have for me out of that book. And then God spoke up and said, I got a better plan. Why don't you study the book of truth, the word of God, know it like the back of your hand, so that you can be equipped to give people the answers that they may face in life that deal with the word of truth and not focus so much on the enemy's propaganda. I said, okay, that sounds like a good plan. So I choose to spend my time focusing on the word of God. So God says to Job, and it's addressed to Job, then the Lord answered Job. Okay? That's what it says. This is not God dealing with the comforters that had become the confronters. This is God addressing some of the statements that Job has made. And he says, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? By words without knowledge. All the way back in the back of the New Testament, right before the book of Revelation, is a little book called Jude. It's a little letter. It's only 25 verses long and only one chapter. So there's only, and it says there in verse number 10, but these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beast, and these things they corrupt themselves. So God says, you are speaking, you are assaulting my counsel, you're obscuring my counsel by speaking about things that you do not know. So I've had a person from time to time, and they would ask me a question, and I've got no problem giving this answer. I don't know. I don't know. Now, the questions that they're asking me, they're not theological questions. They have to do with other people and what's going on in their life. And I say, I don't know. I got no problem saying I don't know. And their response is, well, there's certainly a lot about what's going on in other people's lives that you don't know. And I was like, I don't need to know everything that's going on in those people's lives. I just don't. If they want me to know, they'll tell me. But a lot of people are afraid to give an answer that says, I don't know. They want to speak in a manner that is going to try and make them look better than what they may be. They're going to try and make themselves look smarter than they may be. Listen, we're in politics season. We're in election season. There's going to be all sorts of people making all sorts of promises, which most of them don't have the power to make reality. It's just trying to entice you to move over to one side or the other. And that's why when it comes to election season, I tell Merit Assembly of God, you need to pray. You need to hear from God. Okay? Now, I've got a lot of friends, and there are some of those friends that they and I would disagree on certain aspects of politics. A person asked me one time about this one preacher, and I said, I love the preacher. He preaches victory, but I hate his politics. He preaches victim. And the guy was like, whoa, where'd that come from? I believe that our preaching and our the Word of God ought to be impacting our politics, not our politics impacting the Word of God. That's just the reality of it. So, but I'm not there as their judge. Okay, so if people want to ask me about them, I say I don't know how they came to that decision. It's a head scratcher for me. But I don't know. Ask them. They'll tell you. But I don't want to be a slave to my culture. I want to be in covenant with God. I want to be in covenant with His Word. And I want that Word to be the source material from which my culture emanates. So he says, Job, you are speaking, you're darkening my counsel. Prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Up until this point in time, Job had been the one asking the questions. I believe the advice that they give an attorney when they go into court is never ask a question that you don't know the answer to. Job was going through the trial of his life. There was pressure. He didn't have any support. Even his own wife told him to curse God and die. And he said, "You're talking like a person that's out of their head. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that to God." But there were a lot of things that Job did not understand. But he said at one point in time, I loathe my life, therefore I give free rein to my complaint. If you want to know where that is, it is in Job chapter 10, verse number 1. My soul loathes my life. I give free course to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, do not condemn me. Show me why you contend with me. And he goes on and on and on. He says, I hate my life. I did better than this when I was running my own life. That is deception at the highest level. We did not do a better job leading our own life. We could not save ourselves, could not heal ourselves. There is so much that we cannot do, and we are very skilled at making a mess. We are not all that skilled about cleaning up the mess. So God says, up until now, you've been asking me the questions. Now it's time for me to ask you a few questions, and you, in your great wisdom and your great knowledge and eloquence, will answer me. And it doesn't take very long before Job realizes that God's not been unjust, that he is the one who has missed the mark, and he humbles himself. Okay, so let's get into just some of these questions. Verse number 4, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Okay, now the first thing that I want to point out is it says that he laid the foundations of the earth. We are not talking about something that is a cosmic accident. We're not talking about something that went boom and all of a sudden things came out and they were absolutely organized and beautiful and all that sort of stuff. There's nothing like that. You know, somebody said, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. And a Christian said, I do too. It said, God said, let there be, and boom, there it was. Or bang, there it was. But that's not the question here. The question isn't whether things just happened or whether they were created. God says that they were created, and they were created by him. But he says, when I did that, where were you? Where were you? Well, I wasn't around yet. There's not one of my ancestors that was around yet. And so God causes him to focus on the finiteness of his personality and on the infinite reality that is God. Okay? And so he says, tell me if you have understanding. If you understand the question, just go ahead and tell me that you have the understanding. Verse number 5, who determined its measurements? Surely you know, or who stretched the line upon it? Now, I will tell you that the universe is bigger than I can comprehend. It's bigger than I can comprehend. And I'm not sure that astrophysicists have come to an answer yet that they're completely satisfied with. I think in spite of all of the trillions of dollars that have been spent trying to figure it out, I don't think they still have a definitive answer that they can say, we know absolutely 100% for sure that this is how big it is. We know the measurements. And God kind of mocks him and he says, surely you know. In other words, this is not even something that puts a strain on God's brain. This is like doing simple math for him. Surely you know this. For those of you who may be listening that think that you're smarter than God and wiser than God and know more than God, I want you to realize that many of the things that humanity struggles with are very simply resolved by God. God knows these things like we know what 1 + 1 is. Okay? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? Okay? So again, there's question. It's not a matter of whether or not there's foundations. There's foundations that it is attached to. And the question is, who laid its cornerstone? Well, the answer for most of the history of mankind is that it has been fastened together. It's been created by God. So let me take you to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians, chapter 1, and verse number 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, Jesus, all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Okay? And so there's the question there. And he said, who did all of this? That was me. That was me. It was God, he says. When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Verse number 8, who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band. When I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, this far you may come, but no farther, and here your proud waves must halt. So I want to spend just a couple of minutes here, and I want to bring some peace to some people who are living in fear as to what's going to happen to the environment, living in fear about, you know, sea rise and all of that sort of stuff. And I want you to know that God has it all under control. Okay? It says here that in verse number 8, he shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued it from the very beginning, when I made the clouds its garment, when I fixed my limit for it, when I said, this far you may come, but no farther. Okay? Creation is not in rebellion against God. Creation is suffering the consequences of man's sin in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And the New Testament says that creation is groaning, waiting for the sons of God to be revealed. But please understand that God has established boundaries, and it doesn't get to go beyond the boundaries that God has established for it. God has established boundaries for mankind. The thing is, he has given mankind a free will, an ability to choose whether to come into alignment with God's plan or not. And so I would encourage you, stay inside the guardrails. Stay inside the parameters that God has established for your life. Fall in love with the Word of God and realize that God's not trying to restrict you from becoming your best. He is trying to empower you to be your best. And he is trying to keep us from distractions that would hinder us from doing exactly what God wanted us to do all along. Okay? So I also like to bring this reality, and that is whenever there's an archaeological dig and they find some place that's been submerged underwater for a long, long time, and that archaeological dig, what it does is it verifies there's somebody that used to live there. And so there's ebbs and flows in the environmental world around us. I just want you to know, you can have peace that God is on the job and he's got everything under control. The beginning of chapter 38 here all the way through the last chapter just shows us the greatness of God compared with the inadequacy of man and his superior knowledge and our superior knowledge. But we can take rest in this. He loves us, he cares for us, and he set us up to succeed and to know him. And I want to do that. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. That saved a wretch.